Hey, you guys, welcome back to Tomes of Terror, my little book review show. So, the book we're talking about today is another one that I got through my Kindle Unlimited. Now, I had been hearing a fuck ton about this book. It seemed like pretty much every BookTube channel that I saw, like I just saw like on Goodreads and everything like that. It seemed like particularly in, I don't know why, but in the summer of 2021, it seemed like this book was everywhere. Like it was in a bunch of, book club, selections and like a bunch of book groups like on Facebook and stuff like that. Like everybody was reading this, everybody was talking about it. And so I was kind of happy to see that it showed up in Kindle Unlimited so I could read it for free and see what all the hype was about. So this book is called Stolen Tongues by Felix Blackwell. Now, interestingly, I had thought because it seemed like the hype train really kind of reached its apex, as I said, right around the summer of 2021. So I thought that that's when the book came out. But when I looked it up on Amazon, the print version actually came out back in 2017. So I'm not entirely sure why it took so long for it to get. Maybe it was because I believe that the rights of it had been, purchased for a film, which maybe that's what it is. So maybe that kind of contributed. But so it's been out for a while. It was self-published by the author. Now, much like a book I talked about a while back, Pen Pal by Dathan Auerbach, this book first started out as a series of posts on the subreddit No Sleep. Now, this started out as Felix Blackwell, the author, writing this story, which I think was originally called something like My Romantic Cabin Getaway or something like that. And people really got into it. And so I guess as time went on, he was encouraged to sort of like compile it all into a book, sort of put it all together and self-publish it. And a lot of people have, as I said, subsequently reviewed it. If you go on Goodreads, it really does seem like most people are just really effusive in their praise of this. And one thing that I kept seeing people saying, like, this was the scariest book I ever read, or it's like the scariest book I've read in a really long time. So I was really like kind of curious to get around to reading it. Now, I will say, just right from the start, I feel like, okay, I didn't think this was the scariest book ever written. And I definitely think, I really kind of feel ambivalent about it. I kind of feel like the first half of it was really, really good. And then I just kind of felt like, I don't know, the more it went on, like the more diminishing returns that it had. Now, I'm gonna try and not to spoil it because I know that a lot of people are, this is on a lot of people's to-read lists, so I don't want to ruin it for anybody. So I'm not gonna tell you like how it ends or anything, but I did have some feelings about it that, I mean, I did like it, but I kind of feel like I didn't love it as much as some people did. You know what I'm saying? All right. So the story behind this, the main character of this is Felix Blackwell, who is also the name of the author. It's, I guess, just because this got its start on Reddit. And, obviously the no sleep stories, you put them on there like in first person, like this is something that really happened to me. So I'm guessing that that's where he was coming from with that, and that's why he named the character in the book after himself. And he said that in an interview that I saw about this story, that he actually did base the story on his fiance at the time, who in real life I think is named Holly. In the book, she's named Faye. But he said he did get the idea from some of the weird shit that she would do in her sleep. So this is kind of like does have some basis in reality. So what happens, Felix and his fiance, Faye, they are, I guess he's like a PhD student and she, what does she do? I can't remember what her job is. Like she has other job too, but they are doing like this kind of like vacation getaway. So Faye's parents have this cabin, this sort of like isolated cabin up in the mountains in, I think it's Colorado, in a place called Pale Peak. So at the very beginning of the story, there's actually kind of like a prologue, which is almost kind of like a short story in itself. And I really, really like the prologue. I mean, it really does kind of set the mood. It's very creepy. It's well written, and it really kind of like primes you for the rest of the story. The first part of the prologue is kind of about It's about, it has to do with like a parrot whose name is Carrot, Carrot the parrot, and some stuff that he says that maybe implies that there might be like somebody outside. You know what I mean? That's all I'll say. But so it's almost kind of like a self-contained short story, and that is really good. So then you get to the part where Felix and Faye, they go up to this isolated cabin, and it's all snowy. There's like snowstorms. They can't really get, it's very isolation, like The Shining and stuff. So they're in there and it seems real fun and all, but then some kind of weird shit starts to happen in the sense that they start hearing what sounds like voices outside, like in the woods, and just weird shit, like kids, you know, giggling or babies crying. And they kind of think, well, maybe it's just animals or whatever. But then Faye insists that she hears, one of the voices she hears out there is her dead grandfather. So it almost kind of seems like there's all these like just really weird voices. And they also start sort of seeing maybe like something out in the woods, like something that kind of looks like a person. So there's all this kind of situation. Now, Faye has a thing where she's always, since she was a kid, she's always been a sleepwalker and she always talked in her sleep. Now, Felix says in the story that, you know, usually he can tell what she's dreaming about by what she talks about. It's like, it's usually mundane stuff, like she's talking to her sister, or she's talking to her coworkers, or she's arguing with somebody or something like that. But as they stay at the cabin, it begins to occur to him that she seems to be talking to someone that maybe is talking back to her from outside of the cabin. Now, they also find something there when they're out hiking. They also find like this weird dream catcher, but it's like kind of a gross, or it's like not like a real nice one. It's kind of, you know what I mean? It's kind of one that's made with some kind of like fucked up shit. So it's a little disturbing. So they find that out the thing. So they stay at this cabin for, you know, like a week or two, and shit just starts getting worse and worse in the sense that they just keep hearing these voices outside and keep seeing like sort of just hints that maybe there's something not human, kind of like lurking around the property. Now, when they ask Faye's parents about the cabin, because as I said, it belongs to them, and Faye said that she hadn't been there. Now, she says at the beginning that I've only been here once and it was when I was 14. That turns out not to be the case later on, but they, you know, as shit gets worse and Faye almost starts getting to a point where it's almost like she's having like, I don't want to know if I necessarily want to say like a psychotic episode or something like that, but she's getting like worse and worse. Nobody's getting any sleep because, you know, there's these constant weird voices, and it's even like this being, whatever it is, sometimes can like knock on the door, and it can, it gets to a point too where it can mimic people's voices, which I guess was kind of like the whole point of the parrot story at the beginning, because that's very much like what this monster is, like what this being is. So during the course of their investigation, they're like, what the hell is the deal with this cabin? Faye's parents seem very cagey about why they sold it, or, you know, not why they sold it, but why they don't go there anymore. I mean, obviously they still own it, but why they don't go anywhere, what happened there, like when Faye and her sister were kids and all this stuff. They just seem very, you know, they don't really want to talk about it all that much. So Felix starts to get really mad and really suspicious. Now, as the story goes, so that's kind of like the first part. I think the book is five parts, I want to say. I think it's in five parts. So that's kind of like the first part where they're, you know, in the cabin. And then they actually go home to California and try to regain their regular life. But it turns out that whatever the hell it was that became attached to them somehow when they were in the cabin in Colorado has followed them back to their house in California and is continuing to torment them in a very similar way to what was happening up there. So as the story goes on, Felix has to essentially like solve the mystery of what this being is, why it's targeted Faye, you know, how he can get rid of it, how he can help her, all this other kind of stuff. So I will say, as I said, the first part of it, like the prologue part with the parrot, and the first part of it when they're up in the cabin and the monster is like lurking around outside and like they're hearing voices every now and then, like he'll get up and think he sees something, and the way that Felix Blackwell like describes the creepy shit that Faye is doing and saying in her sleep, because she sleepwalks too. So a lot of times she'll like go outside or she'll like do really weird shit, like she's interacting with something that somebody can't see, that that Felix can't see. That kind of description, and then when they when the monster kind of shows up and you get a better look at him, the descriptions of the being are really creepy. So I really like the first, maybe like the first third of it, I want to say, was actually really good. But then after, because I was just kind of like, well, they're at the cabin, and I wasn't sure if it was going to be set at the cabin the whole time. But then when they go back home to California, and then it appears that the monster has followed them, after that point, I feel like the whole middle part of it is kind of repetitive in the sense that there's nothing really new happening with it. It's the same being. You've already seen it. It's already been described. It's what it does has already been described. So it's just kind of like more of that. And I saw like some reviews of it that said, yeah, you can totally tell that this was like a series of Reddit posts that were put into a book. And even though this is actually quite well written, I kind of see like where that, because it just seems like there's not, like I said, you, after the first part at the cabin, you know essentially what the being is. Let's call it, it gets a name later on. They just call it the imposter. You know what it looks like, and you know what its shtick is, you know, if that's kind of like, and you know that Faye, you know that it wants something from Faye, and that it talks to her in her sleep, and that she talks back to it, and it just seems like most of the, like, after the first third of the book goes by, it just seems like that's, it just keeps doing that. Like, you know what I mean? And just, it kind of, like, escalates a little bit in the sense that it's getting worse and worse, but not really, because, I mean, it gets to a point where Faye is just, like, not sleeping, and she's really sick, and she's really kind of, like, spaced out, and it almost seems like maybe the imposter is almost kind of, like, trying to take her over in some respect, like she's not in there sometimes. But it just kind of goes on. So the middle part of it, I was going to say, is just kind of like repetitive, because it's just kind of like the same thing happening over and over. Like every single night, this, you know, the imposter comes back and they talk about whatever, and he's trying to get information, or he's trying to put on different voices to like lure people out to him and things like that. And, you know, there's also a thing where Felix is having nightmares and Faye is having nightmares and telling him about the nightmares. There's some symbolic stuff going on there. So I do kind of feel like it goes a little bit on, you know, it goes on a little bit too long with the same thing over and over. I will say that, even though it is well written. And I did like the description of the being and the descriptions of the dreams and the descriptions of, you know, the creepy shit that she was saying and acting. And like, I visualized it and I thought, yeah, if you saw that in a movie or something like that, that would probably be really creepy. Or if you saw it in real life, it would be really, really creepy. But it just, I kind of feel like it lost its creepiness after a while because it just kept doing the same thing over and over. Another thing too is that I feel like there was a lot of plot points that were sort of like in characters that were introduced that I feel like maybe he didn't do enough with them. Because I kind of felt like this, there was a big, like I said, I don't want to spoil it, but there's like kind of a big mystery about one of the reasons that this imposter thing might have targeted Faye in the first place, like why it's coming after her. And it has to do with the number 5. And it's just sort of like this big, you know, plot point in the story. It's just like she's drawing 5s all over the window. And, you know, the thing keeps asking, what is 5? What is 5? You know what I mean? So I kind of feel like you think it's going to be this big, like, revelatory thing, and it doesn't really turn out to be that. It's like they explain what it is, but it's not, I was just kind of like, oh, okay, I thought it was going to be like a lot more, like a lot bigger deal, and it wasn't. There's also some stuff in there too about, I mean, I feel like he kind of made a big deal of there being this hidden cellar like underneath the cabin, and then I thought that there was that more was going to be done with that, but then like nothing really came of it. So there was that too. I don't really know why that was introduced, because it seemed like it didn't really have any relevance, like, to the story. So there was that. Also, and I've seen a lot of reviewers bring this up. This book, it's interesting because it's kind of based, you know, it's based around the mountains in Colorado, so it does have a lot of, like, Native American lore. And it turns out that the monster, the imposter, is sort of based in Native American lore. Although, you know, the few Native characters that they have, like, don't know a great deal about it, because it's apparently, like, some rare... It's not, like, you know, it's not a skinwalker or anything like that. It's something kind of different. Now, interestingly, at the end of this book, Felix Blackwell, the author, wrote kind of like a little essay about how he wasn't sure, like, when he was writing this story, he was like, so I felt kind of conflicted about me as a white person writing about indigenous characters. And then he kind of talks a little bit about, you know, the way that Native Americans are usually portrayed, particularly in horror movies. You know, you have, like, your magical Native American trope, which you saw it in Poltergeist. You see it in pretty much everything. Native American burial grounds are, like, the fucking, you know what I mean? And he talked about how kind of, like, problematic that was. But then this book kind of does that, though. You know what I mean? In the sense that there's two or three Native characters, and they're pretty much just there to explain, like, to the main guy, the white guy, what, you know, about the myths and legends of the area and what this thing is, and to try to, like, help him defeat it. And I don't know, I didn't love it. You know, I didn't really find it super problematic, but I just thought it was, like, really, really strange that he felt the need to, because he even said at the beginning, he's like, well, it's, you know, should I even be writing, you know, did this necessarily have to be, like, a Native American lore based, the monster be based in Native American folklore, which, no, of course it didn't. It could have been anything. But the fact that he said, I guess because he's a teacher, and he said that he talked to a bunch of his colleagues about it, saying, should I make it, you know, even because I'm a white dude, should I make it like a Native American folklore? And all of them said, no, probably shouldn't, because you might fuck it up. And but then he did kind of did it anyway. And then he kind of did in the book, like, exactly what he was complaining about, like, in the thing where he was saying, you know, the representation of them is, you know, it's very, like, stereotypical. And he kind of did the same thing. Like I said, the Native American characters in this, well, good characters, they're, you know, they're good people, they're heroes and stuff, but it does seem like that the Native American, the magical Native American trope, like, kind of all over again, which, like I said, didn't love it. But, you know, I wasn't that upset about it, but it did seem a little strange. Like, I don't know. That whole thing was, like, just very strange to me. So, overall, this was just, like, a pretty good book. I mean, I feel like when I looked at the Goodreads reviews, like, a lot of the reviews are 4 and 5 stars. People were like, oh, so scary, and I couldn't go to sleep afterward and stuff like that, which the first third of the book, I get that, because the imagery in it, the way it's described, very creepy. I really like the idea of something talking to somebody in their sleep and them not being aware of it. I really like the idea of maybe she has some kind of repressed memory that this thing is, like, picking up on, so we need to, like, get to the bottom of that and figure out what it is. So I really love that setup. But it seems like after the setup, it didn't really have anywhere left to go. So it just kind of like repeated over and over. And then the end of it, I thought, was just kind of, like, anticlimactic. You know what I'm saying? And like I said, there was some stuff that was brought up that I thought was going to be important, like the hidden cellar, like her engagement ring. If you've read it, you know what I'm talking about. Like Felix going to this big thing, like her losing it, and that maybe having something to do with why the creature could control her, and then he gets it back, but it didn't really seem to matter again after that. So I feel like there was a lot of these plot tendrils that were, like, introduced but weren't really, like, developed fully. So there was that too. So I feel like a lot of people really did like it, and it got, like, a lot of really good reviews. But then again, like, again, if you go on Goodreads, it seems like this one is either kind of, like, love it or hate it. You know what I mean? Like, some people were just like, oh my God, it's the scariest thing ever. And then some people are like, yeah, what the hell was all the hype? You know, it was just, like, boring and the same thing over and over. And there was even, like, a lot of people that didn't even finish it. They just DNF'd it because they said, yeah, it was just getting repetitive in the middle and they didn't really care enough, like, what happened at the end. So I don't know. I feel like it needed more character development. It needed more, you know, it needed those plot developments just, you know, brought out more. I just feel like there was just so much stuff that was kind of left hanging that I thought, because I was actually really curious when he found the cellar. I was like, holy crap, like, what the fuck is down there? And so I was like into it, but then, you know, spoiler alert, you never find out. You never find out like what the significance of it was. I think it's only mentioned like one other time. And it seems like it didn't have anything to do with anything. And again, like the whole secret of why the imposter, you know, was after Faye all this time, it just didn't seem to have a lot of weight behind it. Like when you find out what her big secret was, what the big repressed memory was, I felt like it wasn't as big a deal as I was expecting it to be or as I wanted it to be. So there was that. I kind of feel like, I don't know, I kind of feel like the beginning of it was so good that it's almost kind of like he didn't really have anywhere left to go with it, or he couldn't really think of anywhere else to go with it. But as I said, it was, you know, pretty enjoyable. I never at any point did I feel like I was not going to finish it or anything like that. It's well written. It's got like some really creepy descriptions in it. I just feel like it maybe needed more development, but I don't know, we'll see. And I think, like I said, it's been purchased for, like, the movie rights have been purchased, so I don't know what's going on with that. I would be curious to see the movie, actually. I'd be interested enough to see the movie, but I do kind of feel like the end was a little, you know, it kind of needed more of a bang ending. But you know, I'm not going to complain about it too much. To me, if it was a star rating, I'd probably go maybe 2.5, 3. It was perfectly fine, perfectly enjoyable. But to be honest with you, since I already brought up like the other book that I talked about that started out as Reddit posts, I believe, Pen Pal by Dathan Auerbach, I actually liked that a lot more. This one's just okay, but if you've read it, because like I said, I know there was a huge amount of hype about it. A lot of book clubs read it and stuff like that. So I'd be interested to know you guys' thoughts on it. So let me know in the comments if you've read it, what you thought about it. Like I said, if you want to read it, it's on Kindle Unlimited for free. You can read it for nothing. So go over there and see what you think about it and let me know what you thought about it. And that will do it for this Tomes of Terror. I will see you guys on the next one. Bye.